Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans. Thanks for that, Cord John. Turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. If you'd also have your bulletin open to the inner fold, we've been doing a series in Romans on and off over a number of years now, a series in Romans called Truth in a Nutshell, and the title of this morning's message is Loving People, as we've moved through this section in Romans part 3. Let's ask God's help. Father, we would not dare to come to your word this morning without first asking, Lord, that your Spirit would show us the truth of this word. Even though some of these words have been written down, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, the Spirit of God would block out anything that is not from you. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that the Spirit would add anything that you once said today. May we hear your word. May you speak to us. May our hearts be open. Lord, we say in our hearts, Lord, speak. Your servant hears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Diane works for a large engineering firm. However, the two chief engineers of that firm were at odds with each other. They just wouldn't work together until there came up this very large project where they had to work together. They refused, so the CEO called them into his office. He wasn't able to budge them. Head of Human Relations couldn't move them. And even an outside counsellor failed to get them to work together. The threat of getting fired didn't faze them. But Diane had been studying conflict and peacemaking at her church. She really wanted to be able to help these two men. And when she finally got up the courage to ask them if she could help, she was amazed that they both said yes. They were guarded and they were defensive, but Diane kept asking thoughtful, gracious questions. Now remember Proverbs 20 and verse 5? Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And so with these questions, she drew out these two men, and the story came out. A jealous colleague had deliberately lied to each engineer to poison their trust of each other. Neither engineer went to the other to see if these statements were true. The bitterness toward each other was based on lies. Quickly, the wall between them came down, and there was confession and repentance and forgiveness between these two men. The next day, they told the CEO that they would work together on the project. When Diane's workmates found out what had happened, they asked her what was her secret. Brothers and sisters, it is no secret. It's plainly stated here for us in the Word of God. And step by step, week by week, we're going to unfold and explain what peacemaking is about. Romans chapter 12 gives us a great head start on conflict and peacemaking. So let's get into it. In fact, Romans chapter 12 and verses 17 through 21 gives us four helpful responses to difficult relationships. These are in fact commands. The first helpful command for difficult relationships from Romans 12 and verse 17 is respond well. Respond well. Love is good. Love is the basis of healthy relationships with God and with each other. Last time we saw that love is impartial, love is humble, and love is teachable. And we add to this point right now, love is good. And if we relate to each other with fairness, with humility, with a teachable spirit, and with goodness, then we're going to prevent much conflict. But what if despite our efforts, to love, someone hurts us? Well, verses 17 to 21 give us four commands in regard to difficult relationships. And even saying those words, difficult relationships, may be an understatement. Some people who threaten our stability and our well-being might be considered dangerous people. How do we respond to them? Well, the same four commands are relevant. And the first is, respond well, love is good. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. First, Paul deals with the common response. The flesh responds in kind. Kick my shin, and I'm likely to want to kick your shin. When we're hurt by difficult and dangerous people, we want to hurt back. Paul says, don't respond in the flesh. Repay no one evil for evil. Retaliation is one common human fleshy response, but it's not the only one. Let me suggest at least two more. When a major hurt comes up, some people react with denial. The full range of human emotion is described for us in the Old Testament. And the New Testament tells us that that range of human emotion, those situations in life, are written there for our example. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Remember Dinah? Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, was violated by one of the Canaanites, a prince. Such an incident is absolutely tragic and devastating for any family, and certainly for the person, Dinah, that it involved. The Canaanite Hamor had hurt Dinah. He had hurt Jacob, her father, and he had hurt the whole family. Did Jacob retaliate? You might think so, but he didn't. Not at all. Genesis 34 and verse 5 says, and Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with the livestock in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came. In fact, he didn't even tell them when they came because they heard the news of their sister being violated before they ever came in from the fields. Love covers a multitude of sins, but something of this magnitude cannot be overlooked. To do nothing is to deny the magnitude of the sin. Should Jacob retaliate in kind? No, but he should not ignore the reality of the situation either. Where is the love for his daughter in doing nothing? Jacob's lack of response caused such anger and frustration in his boys that they overreacted. They murdered every man in Hamor's city, the city of Shechem, every single last man. That's human response. Denial, like Jacob, just ignoring it, doing nothing, or overreaction, retaliation, like Jacob's sons. A common pattern that I have seen in my own extended family is what we might call happy families. There is a conflict, and it's not resolved. But everyone pretends like they keep going like it's never happened and just keep playing happy families. It happens again and again over decades perhaps until someone finally blows. And when someone finally blows, those members of the family don't want to be in each other's presence anymore. And so they avoid each other. No, denial is not the way to deal with conflict. Relationships, if there's been some hurt in a relationship, those relationships have to be restored. If not, something, someone is going to blow in the end. Jacob could not sweep the incident with Dinah under the carpet. It had to be dealt with in love. Another time, Jacob fled from conflict. And that's another human reaction to conflict. We read in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him, and Esau said in his heart, I will kill my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Flee to my brother Laban in Haran. So Rebekah was afraid, and because of the fear that she was going to lose her son, she told him to run. But fleeing is also a fleshy solution to conflict. And indeed, Rebecca's advice was absolutely disastrous because they didn't see each other ever again. Denial, playing happy families, blame, that fighting often comes out in blame in our situation. You did this and you did that. We don't see what we did, but we tend to blame the other person. Or fleeing, and the way that works out in context of our relationships is just avoiding other people. These are really the only options for the flesh: denial, fighting, or fleeing. They're really the only options for the flesh. It's simply man in his humanity, and the commonest of all these is to fight back, to blame, to accuse, to attack. Therefore, verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. No, we are not to fight back. We are to respond well in the sight of all men. Out of a godly heart, we're to have good responses. This is a command. Let everyone see, brother and sister, your good responses. This is in the sight of all men. Of course, good responses are spiritual responses, and that's not how we are naturally. But good responses are how we can be spiritually. We can respond well in the empowered by the Spirit of God. Love is good. Any other response is not love. Jacob's denial was not love for Dinah, for his daughter Dinah, was it? Just doing nothing about the situation. It wasn't even love for Hamor, the one who had perpetrated the crime. He needed to repent and to be restored and perhaps to come to know the living God. It wasn't love for him. Jacob's running was the end of family relationships for more than a decade when he ran from his brother Esau. And that didn't build love. The family was absolutely fractured through avoiding each other. Love requires conflict to be dealt with. Love requires a good response. Jesus talked about good responses to hurt. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, he said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends his rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you have more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." The good responses that Jesus Christ mentions there are to bless our enemies, those who hurt us. It is to be kind to those who hurt us. And it is, thirdly, to pray for those who hurt us. Peter also talks about good responses in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." A good response is a godly response. A good response demonstrates love for those concerned. Any other response, blaming, avoiding, denying, ignoring the situation, eventually makes things worse. When we're hurt by others, it's like getting wounded physically. What we do with a body wound determines how it's going to heal, whether it's going to heal or whether it's not going to heal. If a wound somehow becomes infected, remember the Aboriginal folk used to rub stuff into their wounds so that they would heal badly and cause scar tissue. If a wound is infected, it's not going to heal as well. That's especially true of bone fractures. Fractures are divided into simple and compound fractures. A simple flat fracture is just a fracture of the bone, but a compound fracture means that the fracture and the wound goes right through to the skin. And because it goes right through to the skin, it's more likely to get infected. And because it's more likely to get infected, a compound fracture is much more likely to have a bad outcome. Infection in a wound means longer healing. Fleshy human responses to emotional wounds is like infecting a wound with bacteria. It's like infecting a wound. It's like converting a simple fracture to a compound fracture. If we react in the flesh to hurt, we're going to compound the situation. We will make it worse. Repaying evil for evil compounds the situation. Responding with good in the sight of all men will promote healing in the situation. Now, we haven't described in detail what a good reaction is to responses. We've mentioned what the Lord Jesus said, we've mentioned what Peter said, but we're going to explore this and open this up in the weeks ahead. What I really want you to see today is that reacting with denial, reacting by attacking, reacting by avoiding people is only going to make things worse in the end. And therefore, what I want from us today is the commitment to make good responses. We mightn't all together know what those good responses might be today, but the commitment this morning, will you say in your heart where you sit, when people hurt me, I want to make a good response. The second helpful response for difficult relationships is to draw close. Love makes peace. Draw close, for love makes peace. Verse 18, which is our key verse for today, says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." No matter how much you try and make peace, some people will not respond well. Therefore, the Holy Spirit says through Paul in verse 18, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." So you do everything you can to make peace, but you leave the results with the Lord. We cannot force people. We cannot control people. We cannot make others respond well. We are responsible for our own behavior and our own responses. And love moves towards people. It moves towards difficult people. And it moves cautiously towards dangerous people. Now, some people hurt so badly they can't be trusted. We still move toward them, but that doesn't mean we trust them. Verse 18 says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Literally, the Greek word peaceably means to come together. Peaceably means to come together. We seek to repair a fractured, hurting relationship. We seek to come together. We seek to draw close, to come together in peacemaking. Reacting in the flesh is peace breaking. But living godly, gracious, kind lives is peacemaking. The peacemaker loves people and he draws close to people. The peacemaker does not cause harm. He does not hurt in any way, except perhaps with the offense of the gospel. The person who denies problems is not a peacemaker. They're a troublemaker, just delaying the time when trouble comes, and then it's going to be more explosive, more trouble. The person who avoids difficult people is not a peacemaker. Again, just avoiding people is a recipe for trouble. I confess to you, brother and sister, I have made the mistake of avoiding difficult people. I have determined not to avoid difficult people anymore, but to seek peace. Ken Sand gives this testimony. While I was working as an engineer, I was saved wonderfully by the Lord Jesus Christ. He began to change me from the inside out. Changed me in ways so that my relationships with other people started to improve. As a result, he says, I became a more productive employee and I was promoted in my position. My friends told me I was a lot easier to be around. God continued to transform me into a peacemaker during law school and in my early days in practice. In one conflict after another, some of which had been tied up in court over periods of years, God was working through me to bring peace to seemingly impossible situations. I found peacemaking to be so rewarding that I became a full-time Christian conciliator. Since then, I've been privileged to see how God's peacemaking principles can be used to stop divorces, rebuild marriages, restore friendships, reunite churches, settle lawsuits, and even bring peace between warring tribes. The reality is that conflict is part of each of our lives. There is someone at work, someone at home, someone in the extended family, some brother or sister in Christ who has hurt you. God requires you, as far as it depends on you, to be a peacemaker. And in the very worst situations, that doesn't necessarily mean you trust them, but you need to be a peacemaker. Love makes peace. Love builds bridges to others. Who is it that's hurt you? You see, they quickly come to mind, don't they? They're right there. Will you, in the power of the Spirit of God, obey the word of God and start to move close to them. Can you be hurt again? Sure. Hugging some people is like hugging an echidna. Just get close and you get prickled. But will you be a peacemaker as far as it depends on you? The third helpful response for difficult relationships is see the eternal. See the eternal. Love is meek and love is kind. We've seen today that love is good. Love makes peace. And now love is meek, love is kind. Another way of saying see the eternal is bring God into the picture of this conflict. Here you are, you have been hurt, you're stewing in your own juices, bitterness is rising up in your heart, and you're starting to grit your teeth and say, they deserve... dot, 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 you fill in the blank. Therefore, verse 19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. When hurt leads to bitterness, it's so easy to want to hurt back. Don't do it. Verse 19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. Yes, give place to God's wrath. Bring God into the picture. See the invisible and see the eternal. God knows the incident. God knows exactly what happened. What they did was hurtful. What they said or what they did cut deep, but God saw it all. Remember Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, and I saw the dead. This is speaking of the great white throne judgment of God. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Men will answer for every idle word. Men will answer for every cruel and nasty word and cutting words, every action. And reaction they will answer that is contrary to the word of God. Let God deal with it. See the eternal perspective. See that one day, unless they repent, which would be a good thing, one day they're going to answer to God. And let it go. Let go. Let God. Verse 19 continues, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Now, having an eternal perspective and seeing the Lord in the picture, leaving them to the Lord, we can continue to do good. Let God deal with it and be kind. Verse 20 says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Love is meek and love is kind. Meekness is the attitude that lets God be God. It recognizes God's control and in meekness submits to it. He is in control. I can rest in his control. What he allows and what he does not allow. What he does and what he deliberately withholds. I can rest in all these things in meekness. Love in meekness defers to God and lets God deal with it. Further, love continues to be kind. If there is anything that ought to prick the other person's conscience, that person that has hurt you, if there's anything that ought to prick their conscience, it's being kind when they have been mean to you. Verse 20 says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And in a paraphrase, the same verse is put this way. Instead, do what the scriptures say. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, and they will be ashamed of what they have done. That heaping coals of fire on his head refers to being ashamed of what they have done. That's it. There is always, in the meekness of deferring to God and in the kindness of continuing to do good to dangerous and difficult people, there is always the possibility that they will be convicted by their conscience, they'll be ashamed of their deeds, and they'll be provoked to put things right. There's always that possibility. Richard Wurmbrand, who's pictured on your bulletin sheet, was a Romanian Christian who was thrown into prison for his faith. He writes, afterward, the communists who had tortured us came to prison too. Under communism, communists and even communist rulers are put in prison almost as often as their adversaries, he says. Now the tortured and the torturer are in the same cell. And while the non-Christians showed hatred toward their former inquisitors and beat them, the Christians, he says, took their defense, even at the risk of being beaten themselves and accused of being accomplices with communism. I have seen Christians give away their last slice of bread. And tellingly, he says, at that point of time, we had one slice of bread a week. I have seen Christians give away their last slice of bread and the medicine which could save their lives to save a sick communist torturer who is now a fellow prisoner. Now, if persecuted Christians can love their tormentors, if they can be meek, submitting to God's will that they are here in prison for their faith, and if they continue to be kind to those that have hurt them, can't we be kind to those that have hurt us? In meekness, give it to God and be free. Be free of that bitterness and desire. We can trust His justice. He'll put things right. The last helpful response for difficult relationships is live in victory. Love overcomes. Love is good. Love makes peace. Love is meek. Love is kind. And love overcomes. Live in victory. Love overcomes. In summing up all that has gone before, Paul says in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let evil push you around. Simply have the victory by choosing good and doing good. We don't have to be victims of evil. We can choose to do good and be victors over evil. See, there's the difference between the victim and the victor mentality. Even though someone has hurt us, we can have the victory by continuing to do good. Live in victory, for love is the winner in the end. Love will overcome the hurt done to you. Love will overcome your own tendency to retaliate or just avoid them. Now, most of us live by returning evil for evil, but we have the victory if we return good when we've been hurt. Nolan and I have learned over the years that no matter how much you seek to be godly, how much you seek to be loving, and of course we do this imperfectly, no matter how much you seek to be good and harmless and meek, it is impossible to make peace with some people. I can think of two people immediately where we still seek peace, but peace has been as elusive as a mirage. Dear friends, we can still have the victory by overcoming their stubbornness and hardness of heart, even their cruelty, with good. That is the final word in peacemaking. When we've done everything, and we'll go through this series on drawing close, and nothing that we do puts the situation right, we can have the victory by continuing to do good. We cannot control the responses of others, but we can control our own. So what does the teaching of Romans 12 look like in the conflict of daily life? We remember, we haven't got that video up, have we? I was going to show a video. Well, we can't do it. Remember the video we saw last time, husband and wife wanting to go different places for a holiday, good reasons to go. But as they started to discuss this, they became entrenched, started accusing each other, and the things started to multiply. Well, maybe I'll get another chance to show you how that video can work out in practice. We're going to have differences, but they can be worked out in a peaceable way. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to ask your help. This is tough stuff, Lord, in Romans chapter 12. It extends us way beyond our ability, and we must rely upon the Spirit of God, for the flesh tends to react very fast. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak to do the things of God. It's strong to do what is wrong, but it's weak to do the things of God. We need you, Lord. We need to draw close to you that we might draw close to people. Lord, we pray that as we meet even difficult people in this church, people that perhaps rub us up the wrong way, that we might be able to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, pray for them and bless them when they hurt us. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that if there's any issues that need to be put right in our families, in our workplaces, we would seek to put them right. We would seek to be the peacemakers. And Lord, as we move through this, I pray that there would be healing of relationships. And as there's healing of relationships, as there's confession of sin, I pray that your Spirit would take a hold of us and make us fervent people for your love and for telling others of you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.